Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 8, day 4 of the study of Romans. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Romans 13, 1-7. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to know you. We want to hear your voice. We want to encounter the living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay. Full stop right there. This is one of those very troubling passages, especially for those of us in the United States or other democratically elected societies. Because what Paul is saying here is that it's the Lord who appoints rulers and people in charge of things. And when we get into the weeds of governing authorities, we're not just talking presidents or senators or congressmen. We're talking about school board members, school board presidents, and I mean, things like that, you know, mayors, city council members, from the least to the greatest. Paul is saying that the Lord appoints the governing authorities and that they exist because they were established by God. That right there is challenging to wrestle with when we vote on who goes into office. I mean, you're talking about bureaucrats to president, people we don't vote on, people we do. Paul is making this assertion here that they're all there because the Lord put them there. When there's a president you don't like, the Lord put them there. When there's a president you do like, the Lord put them there. When the person in charge seems to be making the most awful, horrific, terrible, godless decisions, the Lord is saying he put them there. And so that starts to mess with your head. Why, God, would you put some of these awful people in power? Why would you do that? Who does that, Lord? And it causes you to take a moment when you wrestle with this fact right here. It should cause us to say, Lord, what are you thinking? What are you doing? Why did you put this, you know, godless person in office? Or why did you allow this person who's just seemingly crazy at times and or just, Lord, you know, why can't we have better leaders? Why would you put these people in place? And this brings us to some very important questions, I think, that we need to ask the Lord. And if he's the one doing it, why? Because he's not. It's not an accident. It's not an accident who our president, our senators, our congressmen, our school board president is. None of that's an accident. The Lord is on top of all of that. So when we see these things, we should say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you at work with here in the midst of this? And why are you allowing this? Why are you putting forth these people to do things that are contrary to your will or for your will? Why in each one of these situations are you allowing this and doing this? Very seldom have I ever heard believers ask, Lord, why are you doing this? When we read through the Old Testament, if you listen back to the archives, the last couple of books that we've gone through 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, and there's several times in those books that's obviously the Lord raises up leaders to bring about judgment on a people, and then he raises up leaders to rescue a people, then he raises up leaders to judge the people, and raises up leaders to rescue the people, and it goes back and forth depending on where those people are in their relationship with the Lord, that nation. And so there's times where the Lord raises up terrible leaders to judge a nation. Sometimes he raises up good leaders to judge a nation. Sometimes he raises up terrible leaders and he gets a hold of their heart and their spirit during their time in office, and he uses them to save a nation. We never know, but it's always worth asking. It's always worth asking. Now, this doesn't mean that we necessarily should stop voting. You know, it is our duty. And when we have the opportunity to vote, we should take it, because we'll answer to the Lord who we voted for and whether or not we voted, I believe. But in the end, it's his decision. We're either agreeing with his decision or we're disagreeing with his decision. And whoever is in office, regardless of how you feel about them, Paul right here is saying it was his decision. Now, again, that doesn't always mean that it was his decision for spiritual and cultural breakthrough. Sometimes it's his decision for the opposite, because he wants to let a people see how depraved and fallen they've become. And other times he's rescuing, but it's always his decision. It's worth a lot of prayer and thought and meditation. Verse 2. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So this here is a universal truth that, you know, our governing authorities, they have authority over us, and there are laws in place to keep society running. And if we transgress those laws, if we break those laws, they're going to arrest us, take us to court, and put us in prison, or we'll get sent through tort court, and we'll get sued and lose money or whatever. These things are in place. Laws are a deterrent from everyone just doing whatever they want and, you know, murdering their neighbor to take their wife and, you know, all sorts of craziness. These laws are all in place for a reason. And the interesting thing that I find here is that Paul says that these, you know, that these people, they're servants of God. They're not necessarily just public servants. Many people we see today that are in office, it's a real stretch to call them public servants, because they seem to only serve themselves. But God is saying he's put them in place to serve him, regardless of whether or not they think that. God says they're there to serve him. And then the truly remarkable thing that he says is that they are agents of his wrath. This mild expression of God's wrath comes through the governing authorities, whether they're good or bad. Now, I don't think that what Paul is saying here is that every governing authority acts with God's righteousness and integrity. That's not what he's saying, but he is saying that they carry out his wrath on a people. And sometimes that wrath is carried out against the wrong people. But in every case, the Lord is trying to wake people up. When we see governing authorities doing great wickedness, Solomon in the Proverbs says that when evil leaders are in place, the righteous, they hide. And the Lord uses these leaders at times to get the attention of the church, to wake us up, that we would pray and see this nation turned around. I believe we're seeing a little bit of that in our nation right now, and I think we will see more. But God does put these leaders in place, and he does use them as agents of his wrath. His wrath is this punishment of wickedness to turn others back to him. And that we, as believers, we should obey the leaders because of that wrath. We don't want to feel that wrath. There's a way that we don't feel that wrath if we obey. Now, again, doesn't mean that if they're wicked and they're calling us to obey wicked rules, that we should obey those wicked rules. No, no, no. We should rebel against those wicked rules, but we will know that we will face that wrath. And at times we have to face that wrath if it comes to that. But the Lord is getting the attention of a people and a nation when that wrath is against the righteous. We shouldn't only submit to these governing authorities because of wrath, but also because of conscience, because we are believers, because you know we're not this rebellious type that just want to fight the system. No, we're not trying to fight the system. There's no system that God has in place that he wants us to kick out and put in his system. It's not going to work that way until Jesus comes. His system will come when Jesus does. Now, we can definitely have better systems than others, but what God wants more than anything else is he wants righteousness and he wants people's hearts. And so when our system is messed up, he will move it out of the way. And he will move people out of the way until he can establish righteousness and get people's hearts. But his system of government, where Jesus will be in charge of everything, that doesn't happen until he returns. So until then, we obey out of conscience sake, because we are his servants first and foremost. And we have to see the leaders that he's put in place as his decision. This gets really hard, especially in light of the next passage here, verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Oh, this is so hard. Who likes to pay taxes? I think right now I've recently moved to a new state where they have very different tax laws in the state of Texas where I moved from. And if you're listening to this, Texas has wonderful tax laws compared to most of the rest of the states. And not only that, it's easy, but I've recently moved to a state where the tax laws are not as friendly as Texas and they're not as easy. They make it hard to pay the taxes here. And I have been really struggling with this new concept of how the taxes work here. And it causes this rebellious thing to rise up in me constantly when I think about the taxes. This is where the rubber meets the road, because this is where the governing authorities govern even the righteous, even the people that aren't out dealing drugs or, you know, any other obvious thing that's going to get me arrested and thrown in jail. This is where the governing authorities exert their control over everyone. And it's why we pay our taxes, is because the Lord has set this up this way. And that right there, it's just, oh, it's so hard. I mean, when we have to pay more taxes than we feel we should and things like that, it's so difficult. This idea where authority and government meet your pocketbook, that's where it gets real. And can we, as a matter of conscience, submit and obey, as Paul is saying here? And I know I struggle with that. In this season right now, I'm struggling with that immensely because of this move that we've made and just encountering these new tax laws that feel oppressive and burdensome. But it's on me. It's not necessarily on them. Now, as again, we get to vote, we get to have a say, so it doesn't mean we have to keep silent about it, but we have to do it in a respectful way. We have to do it in submission to that authority. And that's where it gets real, isn't it? That's where it's real for me, and that's where I know it's real for many of you listening, is that tax bill, when it comes, oh gosh, does it hurt. Goodness gracious, does it hurt. But it's the Lord. It's the Lord who put those leaders in place. And I'll tell you, the way that we get rid of bad leaders and get good leaders in, more than anything else, more than our votes, more than our activism, more than anything else, and that's through our prayers. Because we know the one who appoints the rulers. Yeah, we get to go cast a ballot, and I think we should. But we know the one who's appointing them, and he hears our voice. So when we have leaders that you don't like, I'm not recommending that you don't be activists and go out and protest in nonviolent ways or whatever. But more than anything else, in all you're doing to get better leaders, get prayer. Corporate prayer, personal prayer, national corporate prayer. Gather together people that pray for this nation and for our leaders, and ask the Lord for leaders, not that we deserve, but the leaders that he will graciously give us. Ask him for leaders that are better than what we deserve. And I think he'll give them to us. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm really glad you joined me. As always, I do appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.